My name is Seth, and actually, I'm a pastor here in one of the international churches that just got started about a little over 4 months ago. It's called Harvest Mission Community Church. So we're so glad that you're here for this talk on evolution. We're glad that you're here. Just kidding. I know that it's here for the relationship topic. I think it's one of those topics that we all are so curious about, because this is a topic that I believe that oftentimes it gets to our hearts. We want to be in a relationship. Some of us have been in a relationship. Some of us are in a relationship. And so we want to talk about it in a way that will hopefully give you a whole new perspective on relationships. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you in this room, don't raise your hand. Okay, we always have to tell people ahead of time not to raise a hand, because some people lift up their hands and they get in trouble. How many of you want to be in a relationship? No, don't raise your hand. See, this is when it gets very embarrassing here, right? Well, in fact, as some of you were walking in, you saw some of the movie clip. And I think it was the ladies here, right? The two teams, the two ladies, the ladies team. It seems like most of you guys did it and did it well. I didn't even know half of the movies. But you guys did such a good job. You got most of it, about 90-some percent of it, and that's awesome. And I realized, believe it or not, more women are longing for a relationship. And some of these guys are sitting there like, because I want a relationship too. So this is good. We got some of the women who want a relationship and some of the guys who want a relationship. But this is the problem. If you look at relationships in general, many of us have learned relationships from TV or movies. In fact, I can say this because I want to ask you another question. Once again, I don't want you to raise your hand or answer it, but just think about it. How many of you had your parents tell you about sex? Maybe one or two. I know that growing up in America, let me give you a little bit about my past so you guys can know. Pretty much, I grew up in South Korea, in Seoul. And I came to America when I was 5 years old. So even though I look Asian and I look Korean, in some ways, what, in Indonesia, everyone thinks I look Japanese. But anyway, even though I'm Asian, when I was growing up all my life up to now, I'm pretty much American in my thinking and many times in my behavior, even though I have an Asian background. And so all I can say is that I was torn between those two worlds. Because in the Asian culture, you're not supposed to talk about sex. Can a pastor say that? I guess so, yeah. It's good. My parents never talked about it. Where I learned about sex and relationship was in the boys' locker room. Ladies, that is not the place where you want to learn about sex. Because we talk about very bad things. But that's how I learned about relationships. And then, believe it or not, I'm a hopeless romantic. And so I grew up watching all these soap operas, and I used to love all those sappy movies and all the girl and the guy. I used to listen to all the love songs and all that stuff. So I began to shape my whole view about relationships based on media. It wasn't until I started getting a little bit older when I realized that there was a whole different way to do this. And that's what we want to be talking about in the next 2 weeks, today and next Friday, about relationships and relationships done in a whole different way. I will say this. If some of you have been in a relationship and it has turned out really bad, many of you would be very open to another way to do relationships, because I was. Because I made a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of things that I totally got influenced by the media. And because of that, I said to myself, is there another way to do this relationship? I met my wife in college, and I'll explain a little bit more in my talk. We've been married for close to 14 years. We have 3 children. My oldest son is 12 years old. He goes to Espeja. All of them go to Espeja. My second son, he's 9 years old. He goes to Espeja as well. And then my youngest daughter, she is 6 years old. And just God has taught me over the years what it really means to do a relationship in a way that's totally different from what the world teaches us. And that's why we want to be able to share this with you tonight and also next Friday. Now, I understand that some of you might not be believers in Jesus Christ. Some of you might just go to church. Some of you might have kind of fallen away, and that's okay. Because I believe that there are a lot of principles in life. Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter, because these are truths that have been tested over a period of time. And those are the things that I want to share with you. And because of my experience, I have counseled literally people for thousands of hours. And one of the most popular topics of all my counseling as a pastor has been on this topic of relationships. And that's why I want to share some of my experiences, my past mistakes, some things that I did wrong, some things I did right, and also just lessons learned from counseling people and talking with people. Now, this is going to be the tricky part, because a lot of the things that I've learned and a lot of the things that I've experienced in the context of America. And I understand there will be a lot of things that will be totally irrelevant. Because this is where are we? In Indonesia. And there are some things in Indonesian culture that might be totally different from American culture. I think Indonesian culture is more similar to the Korean culture. Yeah? Some of you are like, yeah. And that's why, because of my background, I feel like I'm able to at least speak to some of those things and issues that I believe, even as Indonesians, that some of you might struggle with. And some of you are expats, and you are like us, that came from another country, and you're here. And so we're really excited about that. So what I wanted to do is have you think a little bit about the message that the media teaches about relationships. I did this in one of my class. I taught this at UPEHA on this religion class, but I was telling them, in relationships, you learn a lot about God. You learn a lot about yourself. And so what I wanted us to do is just think for a little bit, and I want you to ask this question. How many of you, let me first ask a question preceding the question. So two questions. Now you can raise your hand if you want to. How many of you enjoy Korean dramas? It's okay. You could be proud. Yep, winner, it's okay. You know, there are some who even speak Korean phrases, right? So there are some who enjoy Korean dramas. And so I want us to think, even though you hate it with a passion, I could tell some of you are like, because you hate it with a passion. But let me ask you this. In all of these Korean dramas and what draws hundreds and hundreds of millions of people watching this on a regular basis, what are some key elements that you see in Korean dramas that draws people to watch this day after day? Can I have some of you just respond? What are some of the key elements in the storyline of all Korean dramas that make people go, "Oh"? Emotions? Well, okay, emotions. What? People, who said that? Yes, people dying. Okay, so one of the things that I noticed about Korean dramas is that there's somebody who's dying. What are some other traits, other things? Rain? Brave. Rain. Oh, that movie star, Korean guy. That guy. Okay, Rain. What else? What are some other things that we see in the storyline? Huh? Heartache. It goes like this. There's a boy and a girl. They see each other. At first, they don't like each other. But then they become friends somehow. There's misunderstanding. And all of a sudden, they find out that she has a disease. And it's almost incurable. But he loves her. So he's willing to sacrifice and unconditionally love her. And at the end, depending on which movie it is, either she dies and he just goes on with his life, holding on to that last necklace she had. Or she somehow miraculously gets healed and they find each other on top of mountain and the movie closes. Isn't that true? Something about these Korean dramas draw people to it constantly. As I mentioned, we're going to go over two parts. Today I want to talk about the question, is it supposed to be this difficult? on this whole relationship thing. Next week, I'm going to talk about the question, is there another way? So if this is what the movie tells us how relationship should be, if this is what I experienced in my life and there's a lot of heartaches, is there another way to do this thing? And so I want to talk about that next week. But today I want to talk about it. Why is this relationship thing so difficult? Is it supposed to be hard? And so we want to look at that. What I wanted to do is just start off and kind of talk about how relationships, believe it or not, is something that I believe that every single human being longs for, no matter who you are. A lot of times we want relationships in the context with our family, relationships with our friends, relationships with the opposite sex. And these are all things that are good because God made us this way. But one of the things that you need to understand is there are a lot of things that are fake. Do you guys all know? What's the Bahasa word for fake? Palsu. Palsu. Without the H. Okay, palsu. But it's fake. Now, let me explain what happened. I went to China several years ago, and we decided to go to the market. And so we were shopping, and in this market, what happened was I came across a whole section of watches. And so I wanted to buy my kids, my two boys, some watches because they needed a new watch. And I looked, and there were Adidas watches. I said, oh, good, because, you know, they love sports, and they like Adidas, so I'll buy this watch. So I asked how much it was. And they gave me a price, and of course, I love bargaining, even if it's just a couple thousand rupees or whatever. And so I began to bargain. And I bargained really hard where I actually got a really good price for these two watches. And then I brought it home thinking, guys, look, to my boys, these are awesome watches. It says Adidas. After 1 week, that Adidas started coming off. And literally for about a month, after about a month, the watch stopped working. And I said, what a cheap watch. Because why? It wasn't really an Adidas watch. It was what? Fake. Some of you are thinking, okay. Let me give you another illustration. How many of you know this logo here? Nope. The real logo. Yeah, well, we'll get this right. Look, can we look at the real logo? Okay? You guys all know this, right? This is our Starbucks logo. Now, I still don't know who she is, but I heard she's supposed to be a mermaid. But anyway, this is the Starbucks logo. Because of their popularity, do you know how many imitations there are of this? So let's go back to the first picture. Now, those of you who, I know it's a little bit grainy because it was a little bit small of a picture, but I was able to find it on the internet because they took it from all different parts of the world. But if you look at this, it looks like what? Starbucks. I don't know what it says in Chinese there, but I think it's Chinese, right? Chinese characters, maybe, maybe not. But you can look at this and right away your first initial thought is, hey, that looks like Starbucks. But you know that that's not Starbucks. Let me show you another picture. Look at that. They get this circle, green, coffee. And once again, they're trying to take the real thing and imitate it and fake it and say this is Starbucks. Let me show you another one. They decided now we will just still use the logo of the circle and the green thing, but we'll change the name. So this is called the Sweetish Cafe. Crazy, huh? Look at this next picture here. Discovery Cafe, thinking to themselves, if they just don't use anything with the star or bucks, maybe they can get away with it. But I want you to look at some of these other ones, and it'll be kind of funny. Stars Buck. So they thought to themselves, if they can take this S that should be over here and put it over here, no one will know. But the problem is, if you can't really see it clearly here, but it still looks like what? Starbucks. They're trying to imitate the real thing. Look at this next one. Buck Star Coffee. Can you imagine that? So they said, okay, forget taking the S. Let's just switch the whole word around. Buck Star. You got to love that, all right? And once again, you see the logo. Here's another one. They're all in China, if you haven't noticed, right? This is in Iran. It's in Iran, and it's called Starbucks. So they thought, okay, we still like Starbucks, but we'll switch the word around, and maybe if we stick it in there, then no one will know. But once again, if you look at the logo, it looks almost very similar to Starbucks. Let's look at another one. Is that it? Oh, there was one more. Okay, well, maybe I didn't send that one to you. But anyway, another one that was really interesting was in Ethiopia. They didn't care. They just used a name. And here are these men drinking as they were smiling. And it wasn't even Starbucks. Why did I show you this? The point is very simple. The point is that oftentimes when the real thing is the real thing, everybody wants to copy it. And when we talk about relationships, I want to share this with you, that it was God's idea that a man and a woman should come together. And from that moment on, because of sin that has entered into this world, everything else has been an imitation. And that's why relationships, there's a lot of pain, a lot of hurts, because we live in a world full of sin. And so what I'm going to do at this moment is we're going to just go over some principles, and I want to approach it from this way. I'm going to talk about fake love. And then I want to talk about real love. And as I mentioned earlier, next week we would love for you to come back, because we're going to then talk about what are some steps that we can take to have healthy relationships, guy-girl relationships that will honor God. So let me go ahead and first talk about the dangers of fake love. I want to first start off and mention, just look at the society around you. Now, once again, don't raise your hand, but I'm just asking this as a rhetorical question. I'm wondering how many of you in this room come from homes that are broken. Your family, your parents got a divorce. Your parents are married, but they're separated. Maybe some of you in this room are a son or daughter of somebody that got involved in a relationship with a mistress. Because I'm realizing there's a lot of those kind of children and kids in Indonesia, as I'm getting to know different people. We live in a society where there's a lot of brokenness. In America, the divorce rate is high as ever. I know in Indonesia, it's not as high because we try to save face, but if people were to divorce more here, it will be just the same as we see in America and everywhere else. We look at other situations where husbands and wives, they don't even live together. Some of you are thinking, hey, that's my family. My parents, they don't live together. They're separated. There are more sexually transmitted disease than ever before in this world. And some of them are incurable, which means that there is no cure for some of the disease. Syphilis, herpes, there are some that you can treat and there are some that you cannot. All because of relationships that are done in a way that's not what God intended from the beginning of time. We look at children growing up without fathers. There are countless numbers of abortion that happens on a yearly basis. And in a lot of the Asian countries, we just don't talk about it because it's very shameful to say that you got an abortion. But in America, the numbers are astounding of the number of babies that are being killed. All these things because of what? Relationship that has gone completely in the opposite direction of what God wants. There are more people holding off on marriage and just living together. That's what they call cohabitation. So the question is this the kind of relationship that God has designed and planned from the beginning of time? I want to kind of go over some of the key words that I'm going to be using so that we're all on the same page. The problem with the word love is that there are too many definitions of love. Let me give you an example. I can say, I love Soto Ayam. Some of us will say, I love futsal. Some of you will say, I love my little puppy. I love noodles. And so we use the word love in so many different contexts that every single time we use that love, even in a relationship, the question is, do you know what you're saying? And so we have to keep in mind that love is more than just a feeling, but it entails a decision. That's what I mean when I talk about love. In this context, it is more than a feeling, but it entails a decision. It is a willingness to commit to somebody, even though you know all their weaknesses and all their imperfections, you are willing to make a choice to love that person. It is simply a decommitment to somebody else. That's what I mean when I talk about love. Now, according to the dictionary, it defines fake as this, because once again, I want to talk about the dangers of fake love. So this is the dictionary definition of fake. First of all, to conceal the defects of or make appear more attractive, interesting, and valuable, usually in order to deceive. So think about that for a second. Anything that is fake, it is to conceal something that is not good. It's defective. To make it more attractive, to make it look better than what it really is in order to deceive people. That's what fake means. Another definition of it, to pretend or simulate. So that means that it kind of looks like it, but it's not the real thing. Another definition, anything made to appear otherwise than it actually is. So we talk about love, and we think that we understand, and if it's fake love, we realize it's not the real thing. And lastly, designed to deceive or cheat, not real, counterfeit. I want you to, I can see some of you writing some things down, and you might want to just kind of make that mental note of the word counterfeit, because we're going to use that word quite a bit in the next 2 weeks. Fake love is a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. It looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Therefore, fake love has a lot of things that look like the real love, but it's not. It's a counterfeit designed to deceive you and to cheat you. So now what I want to do is talk about some of the dangers of fake love. And I'm going to challenge us in this. As I talk about this and share from my own personal life, I want you to really think through those of you who are in a relationship, maybe those of you who have been in a relationship, those of you who are longing for a relationship, ask yourself, did I experience this before? Or do I know somebody who's going through this now? Because once again, these are principles that I believe that you can apply into your life and you will be able to see the truthfulness of what God is trying to say. So the first thing is this about fake love. I want to talk about the dangers of fake love. Fake love promises closeness, but it lacks the commitment. That's the first thing that you have to understand. That it promises closeness, but it lacks the commitment. Fake love always leads to intimacy, but not necessarily to commitment. And what it does is this. Listen very carefully, ladies. It always promises romance and all the feelings of being married, but there is no commitment, and that's why when you break up, there's so much pain. Now, I'm not trying to say that guys are better at this than women, because I've seen some guys, literally, they're just laying on the bed. What's wrong with you? She broke up with me. I'm going to die. I've seen guys like that. But I've noticed that oftentimes it's the women who are deeply hurt. You know why? God created you in such a way that not only all of us are relational beings, but God created you, women, as these emotions that are so strong. That a lot of times, once you commit to a guy, you give all of your heart. And so what happens is this, that if it is a fake love, you feel the romance, you feel very good about that person. It almost feels as if you're like on cloud nine, you know, like, wow. You know, those girls are like so dreamy, this is so great. A lot of times, you feel like as if you're almost married. And that's why when it doesn't work out, what happens? Your heart is completely broken. It promises closeness, but it lacks the commitment. I always ask people who are in a relationship, I ask the guy, it's usually the guy. I go, hey, what's up, man? What's up? Yeah. And I go, are you pretty serious about it? Yeah. So then I ask this question. Are you serious enough that you are willing to marry her? You know what they say? I go, no, man, come on. You know, I'm just getting to know her. But guess what? He's doing everything with her as if they're married. But there's no commitment. No wonder when things don't work out, the women are the ones who are devastated. And I'm not saying the women are exempt, because women sometimes play along with guys, you know? Because you know how it is, women? Not that I know, but I've heard. It just feels good when you know that there's a guy who likes you. It just feels good when you know there's always somebody there that you can just go to and talk to, but then you're not really interested. So here's this guy who will buy you a meal. Okay, sure. A guy who you could always talk to when you feel kind of down, but you're not really serious about him. So women do it too. But the point that you need to understand is some of you might think that you really are in love with this person, but it might be fake love. Why? Because it promises the closeness, but it does not have the commitment. And that's why Dr. Don Rudiker, in his book Choosing God's Best, he calls this false sense of intimacy as counterfeit oneness. It's a very important term I'm going to be using throughout, even next week more particularly, but this counterfeit oneness. You feel so close. You feel as if you're one. But it's counterfeit. It's fake. It's not the real thing. Let me explain a little bit more about this fake love. It's experienced in various ways. First of all, when we mistake emotional embrace for love. As soon as you start feeling all warm inside, you're like, I'm in love. No, you're not. Because you just feel good, and those are some good things that you need to have. But once again, that is not the genuine love. Let me explain what happened to me when I was in college. When I was in college, there were a lot of things that I did that was kind of dumb. And a lot of it, I like to plead innocence. Like, I didn't know, but now I can't do that. Pretty much what happened was there was this girl that I knew when I was in college. And what happened was we ended up being in the same class. We took history of art. Like I said, I had this weird romantic side, so I took like astrology. So I was thinking, I was going to look out into the stars at night one day. And with this girl, I was going to say, do you see that star over there? That's the North Star. It always leads the way. And then I was going to, you know, do the whole Big Dipper and all that kind of stuff. So I decided, I need to know this stuff. So that's why I took astrology. And then I said, you know what? I need to take art. Because I want to be able to take her to the museum. And walk through some of these art museums and say, do you see, this is a Monet. And begin to explain about the Impressionist time period. And so I took this history of art. And this girl that I knew, there was no feelings, no nothing. It was cool. But we took this history of art together. So what happened was, because I knew she was taking this class, and so as we took this class, I would go to class with her because our dormitories were pretty close. So we would meet and we would go to class together. And after class, it was right around lunchtime. So then we would go back to one of the dorms and we would eat lunch together. And there were times when other people joined us. So it wasn't just one-on-one, but there were times when we just kind of ate together with other people. Other times we ate alone. But then also, we had to study for this art history class. So we will study together. And I'll never forget, one night, we're in one of the dorm rooms downstairs, the study room. And as we were studying for their exam, I could tell she was very fidgety, which means she was kind of like, she was very distracted. So I kind of looked over from the corner of my eye and I was like, something's going on. And then all of a sudden, she puts her pen down and she goes, Seth, I have something to tell you. And it was right at that moment, it was almost like God saying, no. And so I just looked at her and I said, no, don't say it. And she said, no, I have to say it. And then more and more, I felt like I knew what she was going to say. I go, please, don't say it. She said, I really have to say it. I go, no, you don't want to say it. Yes, I do. No, you don't. I said, don't say it. And guess what? She said it. And she began to explain that this past semester, as we were going to class, as we were eating together, doing all this stuff, and she began to explain about how she felt about our situation. I remember putting my pen down at that moment, and I simply said to her after I took a deep breath, I said, "You shouldn't have said it." And what happened was, it was never the same. And I just told her, I just didn't see you in that way. I just saw you as a friend. But I'm sharing the story because I came to one of the realizations. Because there was an emotional closeness for her as we spent time, did things together, went to class together, we talked together, we ate together, we did all these things together. Even though I had no intention of, I didn't like her, I just saw her as just a sister in Christ. But because we did so many things together, the emotional closeness that she felt caused her to feel as if she liked me that much. And I want to encourage some of us when you think about some of your friendships and relationships that you have with people. Because there are times when you think to yourself you love somebody because you feel something of this emotional thing that you go through because you know each other, you're in the same class, you spend time together. And I want to tell you right now that that is not necessarily the basis of real love. In fact, it will lead you to closeness, but without the commitment. Let me give you some other ways, innocent ways, if I can explain it this way, that we mistake emotional embrace for love. How do we get there? How many of you have BlackBerries? Don't raise your hand. Okay, well, I don't want to put any of you in the guilty light. BlackBerries, GChat, Facebook, what else is there? iPhone, Twitter, direct messages, so you go, hi. Or all of a sudden you're invisible, and then, boom, he shows up. Then after about 5 minutes, boom, here I am. And you, some of you ladies are just waiting for him to say hi. So you wait there, you wait, you work at the job, you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden he goes, hey. You're like, oh my God. Hi. And here you are. For the next 2 hours, you're chatting with this guy. And you feel something. Closeness. Another thing that brings that emotional embrace. Have you ever shared your dreams and hopes with that opposite sex? There's something powerful when you start sharing about your future with somebody that brings you close. Another thing is that if you share too deeply about things of the past, deep wounds that you've gone through, when you share that deeply with somebody else, they feel emotionally connected to you. Something else that I've noticed is that there are guys who end up giving flowers and chocolates to women. And I go, why are you doing that? They go, what? I'm just a friend. So I go, if you're just a friend, why don't you do that with all the other girls around you? I don't have that much money. Crazy. You know what else? When we mistake physical passion for love. I'm going to speak a little bit kind of more boldly here. Because I think sometimes these are stuff that are not spoken in church, which I think it should be. Because if the church never speaks about sex, then the world will, and that's what's going to influence you. Not only this emotionalness, this emotional oneness, but one of the things you'll notice is that sometimes the physical passion, we've mistaken that for real love. I think sex is a very beautiful thing. In fact, a lot of us grew up, I grew up, sex as something being dirty, but it's a very beautiful thing because once again, it's God's idea. And when God designs it, it's supposed to be good. But the world has taken it and twisted it and now made sex into something that's really bad. And so when you think about sex, what happens is that it is supposed to be something that brings two people closer together. In fact, it is not only emotionally bringing you close, physically close, but psychologically close and spiritually close to that person. And so there are a lot of times when you are in a relationship and you have engaged in physical contact and actually had sexual intercourse with that person. You are so close with that person. In fact, the Bible talks about that you have become one with that person. That's why once you have sex with somebody, a lot of times you give your whole heart and life, emotions, everything to that person. And that is why it is so hard to break up if you are involved physically. And the thing that I share with people is this. It's kind of like bubble gum. Just recently, I had some bubble gum from Indonesia. And you chew it for about 10 minutes, and after a while, it starts melting in your mouth. And you know how bubble gum works. In the first 2 minutes, there's a lot of flavor. Wow. It's like spearmint, peppermint, you know, cinnamon. So the first 2 minutes is awesome. You feel the taste. But what happens after a period of time? It loses its taste. And that's what I tell people about sex. It is so easy to, when you first engage in that sexual relationship with that person, at first, initially, there's a rush. It feels good. But after a while, you lose that. And then a lot of times, sorry to say, ladies, for a lot of guys, and they will say, you know what? You're damaged goods. I'm going to go to the next one. And they break up and they go to the next person. And they keep on doing this. One of the things you have to understand is that so often physical contact makes it feel like you're close, but there is no commitment. Let me just go ahead and quickly go over the second point. I think I pondered on that too long. The second thing is this. Fake love promises connectedness, but it lacks the clarity. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. That it promises connectedness, but lacks the clarity. Another problem with fake love is that too often we base our whole relationship just on the physical or the external. We always feel connected to a person, but that can just be hormones, right? I like you. I mean, it could just be emotions. It could just be physical hormones. And I always tell people this. Ladies, as I shared earlier, isn't it nice for some of you to know that there's always somebody that you can talk to? And that's why sometimes we get into these kind of relationships where you feel connected to somebody, but then there's no clarity of this relationship. Are you going out with that person or not? Are you guys in a relationship or not? It's very fuzzy. It's very unclear. And that's why I think one of the underlining premise for fake love is immediate pleasure. It's immediate pleasure. So everything is about what? Me. Everything is about how I feel. Everything is about if this is good or not. So fake love, what it does is that it makes you very self-centered and think about yourself. So you don't care about what that other person is thinking, what that other person is feeling. But as long as you feel good, you connect with that person. It doesn't matter if this is a relationship or not. Even though it's fuzzy, people don't know if you're going out or not. It's okay. And that's the problem with fake love. There's connectedness with that person, but no one knows for sure if you're going out. And that's the problem that we see. Let me quickly go to some of these other ones. The third danger is that it promises certainty, but it lacks the comprehensiveness. It promises certainty, but it lacks the comprehensiveness. Let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, I think one of the biggest mistakes of fake love is that it creates this artificial environment, a fake environment to really know who that person is. Can I ask you something? Let's say, ladies, just think about it this way. I like to use these examples. Ladies, think about it this way. If there's a guy that you like, that you think he's really cute, he's so funny, he has a great sense of humor, He just makes you laugh. And just everyone knows he's one of those really strong, and he's like a leader, and you're just like, wow, I wouldn't mind marrying him. All of a sudden, he gives you some attention. He stares at you one time over this gathering. He just looks over, and you both catch your eye. You know how that works? Strangers in the night. And all of a sudden, you look at each other, and you're like, and he kind of smiles at you like, and all of a sudden, you are melting. You're like, oh my God. And then he walks over to you after the meeting. He goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm wondering if we can just get together. You want to exchange, you know, our BlackBerry information? I don't know. And what's your... And you're like, my number is 08. Oh, I forgot. And you're all getting crazy. And all the girls up next to you are like, oh my God, this is so great. And then he calls you and he says, let's go out to eat at Planet Noodle. And you're like, wow. Can I ask you something, ladies? What would you wear? Something like sweatpants. I don't know if you guys have sweatpants here. I mean, think about it. What would you do? You would dress up, wouldn't you? And he goes, oh, you look nice. Oh, this is nothing. You know, but you know that you went to Debenhams and spent a lot of money on that dress or that outfit. Come on now. And then when you're sitting down eating noodles with them, what are you going to do? Yeah, I'm such a messed up girl. I have all these problems. Would you start sharing those kind of things? No. You would always, there's a colloquial phrase that says you will always put your best foot forward. You know what that means? You will try to do your best to present yourself as what? A girl that has everything all together. Because think about it. After that first meeting, if he feels like, ooh, she's not it, guess what? No more. Guys, think about it another way. There's a girl that you like, and all of a sudden you had enough guts to ask her for some coffee. She says yes. What are you going to do? As you go to the cafe and you're eating some of the stuff, would you like grab the food and go? I mean, would you eat like a slob? Like a you know, really nasty? Would you start saying, yeah, I'm a bum. I just play PSP for 5 hours. I do nothing with my life. My life stinks. Would you do that? No. Of course not. You'd be like, yeah. You've been sharing all this stuff about yourself and how good you are and all the stuff that you've experienced in your life. Isn't that just natural? What I'm trying to say is this. The problem with the fake love, when you do things one-on-one, is that you don't really get to know that person. Because you are always trying to put your best side in front of that person. That's why fake love, what it does is that it promises certainty, like, oh, he is like this. She is like this. But it doesn't give you a comprehensive view of who that person is. Does that make sense? That's why so many people get into relationships. They start getting involved physically. They're emotionally given to one another. They haven't done their homework. And after 3 years of being in a relationship, they finally realize she's not the one. He's not the one. But already they are physically involved. Already they have given their hearts to one another. No wonder it's so hard to break up. And even though you know in your heart that that person is not the right person for you. And when you have enough courage to say that you're not the right person for you, what does that woman, what does she do? I mean, this is not to make light of it, but I've seen people commit suicide because of broken relationships. In fact, at the University of Michigan, where we have a church, there have been several suicides of people jumping off parking lots. 7-story parking lots jumping off because the girl broke up with him or the guy broke up with the girl. Once again, there are times when you give so much of yourself to a person without knowing them. And then what happens? You realize later she's not the one or he's not the one. But your heart is already given. I will talk a little bit more about this later, but I will say this. I think the best opportunity for you to be able to get to know people is in a group context. We always talk about this. Because why? Because you could see them for who they are in a group context. See, when you're one-on-one, you're always nice. But when you're in a group, you know who they are. Ladies, watch the guys when they're in public. What's up, man? What's up? And you're like, So you got to watch carefully, right? And then, guys, you got to watch the girls carefully. Because some girls, they get really petty. Me. Then you're like, Maybe she has a very small heart. Ladies, you look at these guys and like, oh, look at him. He's so cute because he's playing with the little kids. But little did you know he's looking over at you. And then once you look over, you go, hey, kid, how are you? I like you, kid. You're such a beautiful kid. Nice kid. And then he looks over and you're looking away. He goes, get out of here, kid. I mean, how do you know? But you get my point. It's so easy to think that you know that person because you're doing one-on-one stuff, but sometimes you can't really get to know who they are because you get to know who they are in a group context. Does that make sense? Okay. Let me quickly go to the next point. Fourth is that it promises completeness, but it lacks the contentment. And I'm going to explain what I mean by this. It promises completeness, but it lacks the contentment. I think lastly, in a relationship that is based on fake love, it promises you that you will be complete. Because you have a guy, you have a girl. You are now complete, but guess what? It will never make you content. And the reason why I say this is because God has created you to have a relationship with Him. And in that hole, if you fill it with a person and not with God, they will never fully satisfy you. Only God can. And there are so many people who try to fill that hole in their heart with a guy or with a girl. And that's why they get devastated or they get disappointed because they're not perfect. Only Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to first understand that true contentment comes when you have a relationship with God. And out of that contentment, then when you find somebody that God has for you, you can share your life together. That's why I think one of the dangerous things about fake love is that you think that when you find somebody, you're going to be so happy. But that's not the case. And I want to challenge you in this way. If you ever have a good conversation with your mom, ask her, Mom, when you met Dad when you were younger in college, what was he like? Did you think that he was going to bring happiness to you? Because even as I'm counseling married couples now, I see so many of the stories of women who are so unhappy in their marriages. Because they thought that if they would marry that person, it's going to bring them happiness in their life, when they realize that it's not always the case. Because no one's perfect, and only Jesus Christ can fill our hearts. Not a person. But once Jesus Christ fills you and brings you contentment, then when you are in a relationship with somebody else, you're able to love that person in spite of who they may be. So now some of you are thinking, okay, great. Only God can fill us. This is the dangers of fake love. I'm going to quickly go over some of the things. And I know time has gone by, but let me just quickly share with you some of the distinctions of real love. If that's fake love, and this is what it does to create this kind of feeling in us, and it leaves us with heartaches and brokenness in our lives, then what is this true love? I want to talk about some of the distinctions of this true love. The first thing is this. Real love is always reciprocated. Real love is reciprocated. That word simply means that real love is not a one-sided love, but it is returned. You know that you have found somebody, and that love will build to something that is more genuine and more real when you find somebody who is able to reciprocate that love. Now, let me qualify what I mean by that. A lot of times, it's like, well, they do reciprocate it to me, outside of the physical and all that stuff that we talked about. But how do you know when somebody is reciprocating this love? Let me explain it in this way. I really feel like you know that that person might be the person that God has for you. When that person is able to give back love to you very unconditionally. Loving you, a choice, a decision, in spite of who you are, all the stuff about you, but they're able to still commit themselves to you. So you don't have to try to prove anything to them. They already accept you for who they are, who you are. And as you give your life to them and your love to them, they give their love to you. When that love is reciprocated, then you know that you are in this zone of real love. The best example is with God. The Bible tells us in 1 John, what? That we are able to love God because God first loved us. As God first loved us, in spite of who we were and who we are, because He loves us, we're able to love Him. When someone loves you for who you are, even though you have all the stuff in the past, all the things that you have done, it opens up your heart and you're able to return that love. And that's why I believe it's a beautiful thing. The second thing is this. Real love is always respectable. It is always respectable. You know, we live in a culture where we treat women as objects. I don't know if you know this or not, but do you know why a lot of times we look into our society and whether it's pornography whether it's strip clubs or even when you watch TV, all these women who are dressed in a certain way, do you know why sex sells? Because we have objectified, made women into objects rather than as people made in the image of God. Do you know that? In fact, sometimes when some of us struggle with pornography, something that we have to try to understand, because if you really think about it, it's just, if you see it on your computer, it's just pixels. It's not a real woman or real guy. It's just pixels, light shining through these pixels. Bing. So you're lusting after light, right? Bing. Colorful lights. But you've got to think about it this way. I tell people, when you start putting a human face to them, then no longer do they become objects that you lust after, but when you start seeing them as, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's sister. And those of you who have younger sisters, when you think about somebody lusting after your younger sister, I mean, it kind of gets you angry. And so you think about it, that's someone else's daughter, that's someone else's aunt or cousin or family member. And when you start putting a face to that object, no longer do you start seeing it as a lust thing, but then you realize, oh, it's a human being, a person who's made in the image of God. And that's why what happens is that you will know that if you have truly genuine love is that you no longer objectify that person, but you begin to respect them as people who are made in the image of God. You know, I want to just kind of maybe give you a little helpful tip. Ladies, if you think that that guy is the guy for you, one of the things you have to do homework in is see how they treat their mother and their sister. Are you listening, ladies? This is good advice for you. Because the way they treat their mother and their sister is the way they're going to treat you once you get married. Right now you don't believe me. Like, oh, Pastor Seth, you don't know what you're talking about. Just write it down somewhere in your notes. And then 15 years later, email me and say, wow, how did you know that? And lady, and men, listen carefully. A little tip for you. The way that the girl treats her father and speaks about men is how she's going to start treating you. Have you met some of these women who are like, all guys are pigs, you know, pigs. And they're like, all men are evil, evil. And you're like, wow, what's wrong with this lady? What's wrong with this girl? It's because why? She probably had some bad experiences with her father or somebody. She might have been sexually molested by her uncle. And so if she doesn't deal with some of these things, then what happens is this. Once she gets married to you, and if she reminds you, if you remind her of those things, she's going to start treating you the same way. I'm not trying to paint a depressing picture. Some of you are like, this is so depressing. I just want to die and go to heaven right now. No relationships. But think about it this way. That's why you have to understand the true, genuine love. There's always respect. Ladies, does that guy respect you enough not to get physically involved? I always tell women, if a guy says, you need to have sex with me or you don't love me, then break the relationship. I always tell them, already he exhibits a trait that will harm you later on. Because he's being selfish, it's all about him, and he's not respecting you. That's why I say there's nothing wrong to be able to say, I'm going to save myself and not have sex with you until I get married. And you need to respect me for that. If they do not respect you, then I will say this, then they are not worthy of you. There has to be respect. Third is real love is always realistic. It is realistic. When real love is evident, it will always entail loving the entire person. Not just because she's so cute. Or that guy looks like that guy in the Korean drama. Oh, God. He's so good. This is the problem that I see in our society is that too often we look only on the externals and we don't see who they are in the inside. Now, please, don't get me wrong. I mean, you have to be attracted to them. She's really beautiful on the inside.
Outside, oh my God. But anyway, I'm going to marry her. Amen. I mean, that's not good either. What girl wants to get married to a guy who's not attracted to her? She's beautiful on the inside, but outside, ugh. But anyway, I'm going to marry her. What girl wants that? No one. And let me ask you guys, what guy wants that? Oh, this is my wife. Yeah, but she's beautiful on the inside. Can you imagine? That's horrible. That's horrible. I always tell people, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Do you guys remember? Belle, do you like it here? You know, some of you guys didn't watch that movie. Beauty and the Beast, right? Beauty and the Beast, the Disney movie. The Beast, the ugly looking dude. But she goes, there's something I've never seen before. Something inside of him that is so beautiful. And later on, he's that prince who transforms into this guy. Listen to what David Hubbard said. He says this: marriage is to a person, not to a body or a brain, not to a cook or a breadwinner, not to a bank account or a security blanket. Love needs to remain bright even when affection's admiration and approval grows temporarily dim. If love is misdirected to a physical attribute or a behavioral pattern, it finds excuse to wane when things change. It is total when it is fixed on the whole person of the partner. One of the greatest tests that I tell people to see if you love that person and it's a realistic love is this. You might have found one of the most beautiful women in the world to marry. Or one of the nicest guys, but cute and all that kind of stuff guy. But I want to challenge us guys because we're more physically drawn. Let me ask you this. Do you love that person just for the looks or who they are as a whole? You know what the greatest test is? If you marry that person and that person gets into a car accident and they're paralyzed from their neck down, or they get into an accident and their face is scarred, will you still love them? That's a test, isn't it? If you love that person for who they are as a whole package, because they're cute, they're attractive inside, they're beautiful inside. If that's the case, then even years later, when the guy starts getting a big belly, he loses his hair, he's like, what's up? And the woman, wrinkles coming down and all this stuff, no more massages, but wrinkles and everything, you can still say, I love you. Isn't that true? Because right now some of you are thinking, I'm so beautiful. But you're not going to be like that for long. When you're 60-some years old, we're not going to always look like that. But do you love them as a whole? I think that's one of the greatest tests. And I think the perfect example of a realistic love is found in the Bible. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think of that, look at that word, still. Even though we were like this, God still loved us. That reminds us what true love is. That even though that person might not be perfect, you love them. And lastly, real love is always responsible. It is always responsible. As I mentioned earlier, I think a responsible person is a mature person. They are selfless when it comes to the relationship. They're always thinking about the other person. That's when you know that you are ready for marriage. Right now, some of us who are in college, maybe your first year, second year, I still think you're too young. Some of you are like, no way. But yeah, because you're learning. Because right now, some of you have always been spoiled. You've been raised up by other people. You've gotten everything that you want. You haven't learned how to be independent. You haven't learned how to make sacrifices. You haven't learned some of these things. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless you begin to grow in these areas, you're not going to be able to have a healthy marriage. And that's why we need to come to that conclusion. Am I at a point where I am responsible? Because if you're responsible, you're going to be thinking about the other person rather than yourself. That's when you know that you have a mature love. Real love is not casual, but it is committal. It is committal. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, I want to close in this way. And like I said, you could text Do you guys all get the number? I think there were some people. Is it up there? Anyway, we'll find it. But you guys can text in some of the questions, and then we'll just close out. And if some of you guys afterwards have to kind of file out, that's okay. But can you just write it in there? Yeah? Or find it? Yeah. Good. So if you guys have questions, and at the end, after I finish off with this last point that I'm going to make, then we could talk about some of the questions. So just SMS these questions, and then we'll try to answer them as best as we can. I want to address those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ. I know not all of you are believers, not all of you are followers of Jesus Christ. Some of you are not in a close walk with him, and that's okay. We're glad that you're here. But I want to just talk to those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ. There are many passages in the Bible that talks about how we should be different in this world. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about how we have to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says that whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says that we must live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. The challenge to you as followers of Jesus Christ is this. What are you doing differently when it comes to relationships compared to the world out there? And I want to simply say, and I will respectfully and humbly say to us, when we think about we as followers of Jesus Christ, there is no difference the way we do relationships than how the world does it, how the Muslims do it, how the Buddhist person does it, how a person who is not a believer in God, an atheist, how they do relationships. We do it just like them. And the challenge is, should we not do it a little bit more differently? Why? Because Jesus Christ has given his life to us, and we ought to live our lives for his glory. Those of us who are in a relationship, I want to challenge you. Does your relationship honor God? If it doesn't, then that's something that you have to pray about. And I know some people who have said, you know what, this is an unhealthy relationship, we need to break up. There are some of us in this room who have been in a relationship, we broke up, and there's a lot of hurt and pain. You need healing. God needs to work in your life so that you could be whole, so that when God brings someone else into your life, that you'll be able to give yourself to that person. Some of you are in this situation where you don't have a relationship and you want to be in a relationship. Maybe you're not ready for one yet. And what God is saying is, live your life and grow closer to a walk with God, so that you can be ready when God has that person for you. I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads.